Please be seated. I never know if I want to use the lozenge for the message or for singing. So it's good there's a lot of them up here. Well, I already talked a little bit about St. Patrick. I wanted to cover that a little bit for the kids and maybe for all of us to remember just a little bit about what it's really about. I know when I was a kid myself, I thought that St. Patrick was Irish. And as I got older, I discovered that he was not. He had been there for a number of years, but then he escaped, went back to his home, and then he felt called to minister and come back. Boy, all kinds of illustrations are happening. I have to limit myself. Today's message gave me so many illustrations that I was going nuts. I wanted to use them all, and sometimes we have to cut it back. So what do we think about the Irish? A specific people group, aren't they? Some of us would say, aren't we? Yesterday I traveled the town. I'd never done this before. Wonder if I could show you the slide. Okay, so This is a fascinating one. This is from one of my son's restaurants. Many of you know that my son has a restaurant. Well, now he has two more. And this one was called Lobo Canteen. And so they put this out saying, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." And they had stamped over it, "Kiss me, I'm Mexican." And this kind of has, we'll just leave that one there for a little bit, but it kind of has some thought. I discovered that everyone was reaching out to me, and they were super nice. We drove downtown early. I'd always wanted to see the river being changed to green. I'd seen it on TV, but I wanted to be there. I don't know if you ever want to just really experience something, you want to be there. And so I would walk out of buildings, and people had these huge hats on and the fake beards, and they're all just crazy. And it's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. And people they're drinking. And it was absolutely crazy. But the overriding thing was that everybody, they'd look at me and they'd go, "Hey!" And then they'd talk about the weather, they'd talk about anything. And when you'd smile at them and make a comment back, they'd grab your arm kindly, showing that, I'm with you, brother. We're in this. Isn't this fantastic? And I just thought, how awesome this is. And I also discovered that I couldn't get into one Irish eating establishment to have corned beef and cabbage, which is what I was going to do. And you'd get there, every place was crammed, and it was loud and raucous. The door would open and just all the noise coming out. It was inside. We went into a couple of them just to experience that feeling, and then we'd walk out. We kept trying to find a place. And then somebody told me, "There's a 7-course Irish meal that you can have." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes, a potato and a 6-pack. And I was like, "Okay, thanks." But then we thought, you know what? I need to show you the next couple of slides. There was a leprechaun on the Loch Ness Monster going up and down on the Chicago River. And the next slide. And here they're starting to turn it. Yeah, and the next one. And you can see the green coming down. There were two geese that I didn't know what they were thinking. They kept moving around. I don't know. And the next one. That might be the last one, I think. Yeah. Just come back to it just one more time. You know what the coolest thing about this was? My wife and I wanted to go downtown, and we were trying to see if we could stay in a hotel that was right on the river. When my son got married, he had his reception on the top of that hotel called the Wyndham, and you can see that penthouse. It was totally impressive. And so I tried to call and see if we could get a room there. And they're all filled because everybody wants to do that. And so then my middle daughter's boyfriend says, my office is right there. So all these pictures were taken from my daughter's boyfriend's office. And we had free coffee. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but but it was absolutely spectacular. And we're very thankful to him for allowing that experience for us. Okay, we could probably turn that off now. But we finally went to Greektown at my daughter's boyfriend's behest. He says, I know there's an Irish restaurant down there that's kind of hidden. Nobody knows about it. So we went down there. We found free parking on the street in Chicago. Unbelievable. So then we go in, and I'm just like in the greatest mood. And we go in to this place, and it's, and everybody's lined up outside, and they all had found the place. Maybe because of the Irish flags out front. And I just thought, what are we going to do? So we stood in there for a while until my wife turns to me and she says, I'm so hot in here, I think I'm going to pass out. And so I said, okay, let's go outside. So we stood outside and felt better. And then the rest of our party came out. And they said, there's a Greek place across the way. And so we went there. And we had Greek food on St. Patrick's Day. And it was incredible. And it was fantastic. And there were Irish people in there with us too. It was our second choice that day. You know, I've shared this with you before, but I just have to bring it up again. Because everybody said, St. Patrick's Day, the day everyone wants to be kissed because they're Irish, the day everyone gets crazy, the day everyone wishes they were Irish. And I, as I was growing up, said, I don't wish I'm Irish. I'm Swedish. And the light came on when I said I was Swedish. Oh, Lord. But absolutely incredible, because I saw movie after movie on television. Bing Crosby playing, what was he, Father O'Malley, Going My Way, and all these movies that was Irish, 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 Irish. And I thought, what is this about the Irish in this country? And then I find out that there's more Irish descendants in the United States, probably Canada as well, than ever have been in Ireland because of all of the potato famines and everybody coming over here. That also happened with Norwegians and Swedes. There's more Norwegians and Swedes here than in Norway and Sweden. We're this big melting pot. But I go back to how I felt. I don't want to be Irish, and I'm sick of everybody saying, Irish people, indomitable, fighting spirit, they're tough, they're fantastic. And then my mom gets her cheeks swabbed, and she comes and says, Mark, you're Irish. And I thought, how wonderful is the Lord that he had me go through all that craziness and just being upset about Irish. And then I'm Irish. What is that about? What is your people group? Okay. We've already talked about Irish. I was going to put this on for you. This is who I used to work for when I was in seminary. Van Zeltz. It was a, anyway, some of you even know what this was. I don't think that's an Irish name. Sounds like it's Dutch, doesn't it? Too bad Nate's not here. We could really, maybe I'll bring this next week. So here's the green. I could be wearing green. I took this downtown yesterday. Maybe you're Colombian. No, you're not Colombian. Okay. Maybe you're a Cubs fan. No, you're a Sox fan. Okay. Maybe you're a U.S. military man that flew P-51s in World War II. No, okay. Or maybe you were in the military in South America. No, okay. Or maybe you're an Argentine gaucho and you have on your fancy Argentine belt and then you whip out your Argentine dagger and you're able to cut the meat just right off the grill. This used to be used for defense, but now it's for peaceful things like butchering animal. No, eating wonderful steak. My apologies if you are a vegetarian. Okay, all these props to maybe illustrate something. Maybe you're Swedish. I lost my Swedish, one of those little Swedish hats, but you might be Swedish. It's probably a good bet. Maybe you're Chinese. Chinese, full Chinese or Chinese American. Maybe you're African. Or maybe you have been here for a while and you're African American. I'm looking at, maybe you're Polish. German? Oh. I felt the glow come off of the Goetz family as I said that. What are we? What are we? You can probably figure out all the different things that you are. I don't know how many of you have read my recent Messenger article, but just to recap in case you haven't, I talked about something called the homogeneous unit principle. I learned about it in seminary. It comes from Donald McGavran, but I was in a class with C. Peter Wagner, some of these people you might know about. And they taught that when people are trying to grow a church, you'll notice that people like to be with people who are like them. It makes it easier for them to grow their church. You come in and you think, wow, I just didn't really fit in there. And then you go to another place. It's kind of like Goldilocks, you know. This is just right. And I remember, since I had been raised in South America, as you know, I loved Hispanic people. And so every time I'd go into an Anglo church, I felt kind of out of place. I was just a kid. So I go to seminary to become a pastor and missionary, and I'm fighting against this homogeneous unit principle. And I told my professor, I hate this. This doesn't seem like Jesus reaching out to Jews, to Samaritans, and then later on, St. Thomas going to India, Philip ministering to an Ethiopian eunuch, people going to Spain, going to Italy, ministering to all kinds of people. And I thought, we need to all be all kinds of people in the church. And I finally came to peace with my professor when he said, Mark, this is not prescriptive. It's descriptive. It describes what happens to people, but it's not telling us you need to be like this. And I was able to come away more peacefully after that, thinking, okay, I'm going to rail against this, but I know what it is. I know what it is. But today, after all of that introduction, I'm not going to talk about that. No, I'm kidding. It's to give us a basis. But what I want to talk about is divisions and difficulties that we have even amongst us. You might look around and think, well, we're a lot of white people, but we have some people from other areas, which I thank God for. But we've been here together for a while. So suddenly we've kind of melded together and we're us, for lack of a better word. How do we pray for our enemies? And enemies are not always those that will kill us or beat us up physically. Sometimes they're those that we disagree with. And here's where all the examples began to come in so fast for me as I was preparing this message that I thought, I need to be careful. I need to run these past my wife or past somebody to make sure that I'm not sharing about something that might be too delicate here. So I thought, I can share about some things from my own experience, and then the only one fried is me. So I'll just tell you something, and if you can relate to it, that'll be the proof in the pudding. The other day, I'm on my way to work, taking my wife to work at 6 in the morning, and I hear this outrageous noise. You know I'm a car guy, and this car sounded awesome. But I couldn't see him because he was this far from my bumper. I couldn't even see his lights. He was that close to me. Suddenly, he comes around me on a residential street and blares past me. And my thought in my head is, wow, what a jerk. I mean, he could have killed me or somebody else. And this is it's not for passing. I mean, we're in a 25-mile zone. He must have gone past at 50, maybe more. And then he goes, and I see him taking off and heading down the street. 3 or 4 days later, I saw him do it again. And I thought, this guy. Then suddenly I began to kind of step back. I thought, this guy's really in a hurry in the morning. Maybe that's all it is. And then just last week, we're in Starbucks, and we're going through the drive-thru, and I see him in the window. He's gotten out, and he's inside, and he's getting a coffee, and I see who it is. And I look in the parking lot, and there's that hot rod car. And I thought, this is the guy. So then a few days later, we're in Starbucks, not early in the morning like usual, but in the afternoon. And my wife stiffens up because I'm going right over to talk to the guy. And I go, hey, you have the coolest exhaust system. It sounds so crazy hot. And he turns and he smiles at me, starts telling me about his car. Turns out he's the coolest guy, and he's not trying to be outrageous and raucous. His exhaust system is broken, and he needs to get it fixed in the spring. And he's the nicest guy. Sometimes we just don't know what's going on with people. How do you pray for others when they're the ones hurting us or the ones that seem like they're going to hurt us? Have you ever thought of how the way that God sometimes moves us from one place to another is due to interaction with others? And sometimes it feels unpleasant at the time. I used to say to the Lord, well, I still do, Lord, let me just know what your will is, and I'll do it. Don't make me go through all this garbage. It's so hard. Just tell me, and I'll obey you. And suddenly you find yourself in the midst of a just horrible situation. And you think, what am I learning
from this. Years ago, I worked with my father-in-law. He has passed now, but he was such a wonderful, wonderful guy. And it was crazy because I was brought into his company after I had worked for the railroad, and I needed to be brought in at a good salary rate, otherwise I wouldn't have left the railroad. So I was making really good money, and I was learning the commercial insurance business. I became an independent insurance broker, and I was doing pretty well. But there was an office manager in that office who had been there for years. She knew more than I did because she'd been doing this for 25 years. I think she hated me. And she would go in and badmouth me to my boss, who was my father-in-law, all week. By Thursday, I couldn't even stand to be around my father-in-law because he was treating me like garbage. I was finishing my Bachelor of Science degree, and I'd been in a course, conflict management and all this, so I had learned all these things. So I'd go in and talk to him every Friday. And he'd go, oh, yeah, I can see that, yeah. Okay, Mark, okay. We'd have a great weekend, and Monday would start again. And my wife says, when I call in and ask for you, she goes, yeah, Mark, yeah, he's here, just a minute. It's on hold. And she says, is Dottie having a bad day? And I said, no, I don't think so. So then we began to track it. And she was horrible to my wife, too, by association. And so we share it with my sister-in-law, who now lives with us. She says, oh, no, she's so nice. And then one day, she calls into the office and asks for me. She goes, yeah, yeah, just a minute. Bang. Then she picks it up. He's on the phone for quite a while, so do you want to call back? She goes, yeah, this is Fran. Oh, Fran, how are you? And Fran calls us and says, unbelievable. Yeah, it's true. Well, what happens through all this is it got unbearable. And my father-in-law took certain steps in the office, and pretty soon I couldn't afford to make ends meet. He changed my salary, stipend, and everything that was happening. He says, if you get in trouble, just let me know. And I said, if I get in trouble, I mean, from the get-go, I can't make it. Well, just talk to me. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that every week, kind of like, can you give me a little bit extra because I can't feed your daughter? And so I thought, the best thing I can do, this is really a lot of self-disclosure here. It works out really great, so that's it. So I just resigned with him. And when I came in to tell him that, he goes, Mark, do you have another job lined up? I said, no, it's okay. Well, you all know that's the totally wrong thing to do, go in without a job somewhere else. But I got a job right away. And I did very well. I was the top insurance guy for that new firm. And then you've heard the story about how I left that firm and took a call to ministry. So I won't go into that again. But what happened through all that is our relationship with my father-in-law was completely restored. A number of years later, he discovered the truth about his office manager and what she had been doing. And he was absolutely all over himself, apologizing about what had happened. And I thought, you know, those months were just absolutely hell for us, especially because he's my family. So the craziest thing that happened is we went overseas. And my father-in-law lost his daughter to overseas ministry and all of his grandkids. And he came and he said, I feel that I have forced you and forced Mark to leave us and go overseas, and now I'm apart from you. Can you feel a father's and a grandfather's lament there? I mean, it wasn't lost on us. And we felt badly, but we knew, and we told him this, the Lord used you to move us to the next place so that we could be open and ready to receive his call and go. I don't know if you ever get maybe too comfortable in a place where you are and you can't hear anything. I'm not judging. But I think sometimes the Lord uses that. And truly, when I left my father-in-law's work, I stepped out in faith. I thought, I just have to not be here for the sake of my marriage, for the sake of my relationship with my father-in-law. And the Lord was faithful in all of that. Now, where do we go with all of this? I think the good news in that illustration was that my wife and I experienced a whole new career that has been the blessing of our lives to follow. But do we have to look to our friends to mediate our quarrels? I'm going to be getting to the scripture here pretty soon. But I want to give you, a lot of times you use the illustrations at the end, but I'm kind of filtering these through. Yesterday, as we went all through all of these different restaurants, we ended up at that one that you saw the picture of at the very beginning, the Lobo Cantina. And so we're in there, and my youngest daughter comes in with her boyfriend. And oh, my youngest daughter is getting married to this new boyfriend. This is exciting. This is the first time I've told you. I realized that, okay. So anyway, this was really exciting. And so they come in, and then I'm meeting the people who are going to be the best man and all of that, and one of the guys comes up to me, and he's talking to me a blue streak. And it's fun because we're all speaking in Spanish. She met this guy from Argentina, which is her dream, to marry someone from Argentina. And he's a wonderful guy. But the guy who I think is going to be the best man was talking to me very quickly, and it became obvious to me that he was not a Christian. And he flat out told me so at one point. And he said, I'm not about nice talk. He says, I see the niceties of Jesus Christ piercing his hands for us, treating everybody nicely, but that's not my world experience. People aren't nice to each other. I want to be a man of action, he told me. Actions speak louder than words. I think each one of us should engage with someone like this at least once in our lives, because it's really a challenge on your faith. And I'm beginning to develop a relationship with this guy because he's one of my future son-in-law's best friends and my daughter's best friend. It's quite an eye-opener. What was my response to this guy? Indeed, I was praying the whole time, Lord, what do you want me to say to this guy? I'm not afraid to share, but I also didn't want to turn him off. So I told him that I also believe in moving into situations to make a difference. I believe in strong action. But I told him, we need an anchor. You can't just be about action. We need something to lean on. We can't do it by ourselves. And this guy was very much, I did this myself. I lifted myself up by my own bootstraps, he said. And I told him, we need an inner compass. We need the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a crutch for me. He is my all and my model and my example. He is my everything and the one on whom I base my whole life. And because of him, I want to do the things that you're talking about that you like to do. But I do it because of him. And this is where it draws me right to our passage. Because Paul is writing. And he says, dwell on these things. This translation is very apropos and perfect because it not only calls us to contemplate and think on something, his contemplation on it is much like a craftsman or a workman as he's looking or she's looking at what they're about to do. Do you get that difference? I'm not a holy man sitting there going, just meditating. I'm looking because I want the Lord to show me what to do. And I'm ready to do it. A craftsman ready to work his or her craft or task. It's thinking so deeply because you're about to put your thoughts and contemplation into action. And the contention was at Philippi. That's what Paul's writing about. And he talks about the two women who are having this disagreement. I plead with Yodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he's asking one of his friends to help mediate between the two. It's really funny for me. I know these are Greek words, but Yodia, you take off the EU and it's odia, which in Spanish means hate. And it really stood out to me. I know that's not what her name means, but it was really great for me to look at it that way and think, they're really in a problem with each other. And that's why I wanted you to think about problems that you might even have with your own companions here in the pew. Paul thought about this so much that the entire epistle of Philippians is hinged on that. There's wonderful things in there. There's the benediction. That's fantastic. There's this having your mind dwell on these things. There are wonderful pieces for us to take home and remember. However, there's a therefore in there. Whenever you find a therefore, you look at everything that came before and you say, what does that mean? So Philippians 1, 2, and 3, and he's ending. Just going to read you a little bit of this. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And what's the next word? Therefore, because of everything I've just said, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. You've heard us talk about that before. That all the people he disciples and brings to Christ, they're his joy and crown. He longs for them. He wants to be with them again. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my dear friends. And the next verse says, I plead with Yodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's the whole reason he's talking about this. He wants to help heal the division that is in that church. And he even wants somebody to help him with that because he knows he can't be there. He's writing from prison. You can imagine the difficulty if you can't be with someone and you want to be there. I think about it a lot with my youngest sister's mother-in-law just died, and her memorial was yesterday. And none of my family could go. We couldn't be there. And I'm thinking about this because my dad is much older than the mother-in-law of my youngest sister. And I'm wondering, when is this coming, Lord? How can I be there for him? And not just for a service. I want to see him a few more times before he goes to the place he's longing to go. Make no beans about that. That's where he wants to go. So it's a glorious day for him. But for those of us who are here, we want to see them a few more times. What I'd like for us to do, we're going to have songs of response. The first one will be hymn 449, and that's I Need Thee Every Hour, drawing us to the need to lean on the Lord to effect all of this that we're speaking about, getting along with each other, working things out together. And then the other piece, and I just need to tell you this, it's probably a song you don't know. It's written by Pam Mark Hall. This is a person that my wife and I used to flock to her church in the 70s just to hear her. And you'll appreciate this, Steve, because she was a composer. She wrote song after song after song. And it's a wonderful thing. And it still ministers to me today. So I hope it ministers to you as well. We'll have the words on the screen. We're working on getting music on the screen too in the future, but we weren't able to get that as yet. But I'd like you to think of the words in this song, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is worthy of excellence, let your mind dwell on these things. And to that I would say yes, yes, and yes. Please pray with me.